It's one of those puzzle movies that's actually difficult to sum up in one sentence.
He's got a tattoo. A big one. Snake.
Wrapped around a heart. Squeeze it. That's the guy.
It's not easy to guess where we're going with this.
From Christopher to Castro, cities down the back roads.
Passion flows like water. I'm following this train.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Labor's gay stars shine at the party convention, a gay everyman travels down the dark roads of Urbania, and new queer music features the personal, the spiritual, and down-home country. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Chase Schulte.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending September 30th, 2000. Britain's ruling Labour Party held its annual convention this week, anticipating the first general election since the party took power in 1997. Although gay and lesbian issues did not get much attention there, the three gay cabinet members, Culture Secretary Chris Smith, Agriculture Secretary Nick Brown, and Secretary for Northern Ireland Peter Mandelson, each addressed the main conference. Despite the press of party business and his own past reluctance to be publicly identified as gay, Mandelson delighted activists by coming to speak at a meeting organized by the National Gay and Lesbian Lobby Group Stonewall, the Commission for Racial Equality, and the Equal Opportunities Commission. He stressed the importance in politics about speaking out about one's beliefs, even on controversial issues, and declared his personal outrage at all forms of discrimination. He added that, "I hate it when people express solidarity with you, then go off and snigger behind their hands, which is why I'm in the Labour Party and not the Conservative Party."
The one gay and lesbian issue that did get some attention was repeal of Section 28, the Thatcher-era law prohibiting local governments from devoting resources to the promotion of homosexuality. Although Scotland repealed the clause this year, despite an unprecedented media campaign by religious conservatives, the British government dropped its own repeal attempt in the face of resistance from the conservative-led House of Lords. Local government minister Hilary Armstrong announced to Cheers that repeal is unfinished business. But there were no specifics as to when or how Labour will again take up repeal or if it will appear in the party's campaign platform. But as important as Section 28 repeal has been to gay and lesbian activists ever since its enactment a dozen years ago, it was not the top item on their agenda for the conference. The Labour Campaign for Lesbian and Gay Rights, Stonewall, and Member of Parliament Gordon Marsden issued a joint statement demanding substantial legislation to establish protections from employment discrimination based on sexual orientation.
Protection from employment discrimination was part of the agenda this week as the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe overwhelmingly supported a call for legislative reforms for equal treatment of gays and lesbians. The Council of Europe is the continent's premier civil rights body, and while its recommendations are not binding on the governments of its more than 40 member nations, they carry considerable moral authority. A 77% majority called on member nations to decriminalize homosexual acts between consenting adults and to free anyone now imprisoned under such laws, to equalize the age of consent for homosexual acts with that for heterosexual acts, to create registries for legal recognition of domestic partnerships, and to ban sexual orientation discrimination, taking special steps to ensure equal treatment in employment. Nations were also asked to combat homophobia with training for students, medical professionals, military personnel, and police. The Council also renewed its repeated calls for sexual orientation to be added as a protected category under the European Convention on Human Rights. ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, called the resolution the Council's most important statement on gay and lesbian rights in 20 years.
South Africa's Constitutional Court this week issued a powerful ruling denouncing employment discrimination based solely on HIV status. It was that court's first ruling ever relating to HIV and AIDS. In reversing a high court ruling in favor of South African Airways, the Constitutional Court declared the airline had illegally discriminated against Jacques Hoffman, violating his constitutional rights to equality, human dignity, and fair labor practices. The airline, which is 80% owned by the South African government, had offered a cabin attendant job to Hoffman, but withdrew it after testing him and finding he is HIV positive. But despite his infection, Hoffman was and still is quite healthy, with a low viral load and a high CD4 cell count, and the court agreed unanimously that he is physically capable of serving as a cabin attendant. The airline was ordered to renew its job offer. The ruling described employment discrimination against people with HIV as condemning them to economic death.
Canada this week mourned the loss of a man who played a crucial role in establishing civil rights, former Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, who died at the age of 80. In 1968, then Justice Minister Trudeau spearheaded decriminalization of sex between men, a quite radical move in that year before the Stonewall Uprising. His oft-quoted remark at the time was that the state has no business in the bedrooms of the nation. Later that year, Trudeau became prime minister in the first of his four governments. It was in his final government in 1982 that he carried out his long-planned move for Canada to establish its own constitution under the control of its own legislature, replacing an act of the British Parliament well over a century after Canadian independence. Trudeau ensured that the Constitution included the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, a powerful statement against many forms of discrimination. Although sexual orientation was not explicitly named in the original Charter, the Supreme Court of Canada determined unanimously in 1995 that the category should be read in. The pace of legal reform for equal treatment of Canadian gays and lesbians has moved rapidly ever since.
In contemporary Canadian politics, Stockwell Day's right-wing Canadian Alliance Party introduced the man it intends to make its first openly gay candidate for Parliament. Stefan Prudhomme, a longtime local gay activist, appeared at a news conference in the Montreal gay bar Les Drugstore. He said that party leader Day had personally assured him that an alliance victory would change nothing for gays and lesbians except to lower their taxes. But Prudhomme was not well prepared, and after being rescued several times by other alliance representatives, he was pulled out of the news conference early. Most embarrassingly, he was unable to answer when a reporter asked if he could name five alliance party candidates. Prudhomme's community did not welcome his candidacy, laughing at him during the news conference and jeering at him in the street afterwards. Despite Day's denials, it's hard to argue with everyone else's contention that Prudhomme is a token for public relations purposes. He won't be an official nominee for about a month because there's not yet an Alliance Party organization in the Laurier-Sainte-Marie electoral district to name him. Nor is he remotely likely to unseat the district's incumbent Member of Parliament, Gilles Duceppe, the parliamentary leader of the gay-friendly Bloc Québécois, who took 69% of the vote in his last election. Openly gay Bloc Québécois MP Réal Ménard called his longtime acquaintance Prudhomme a nice fellow, but warned that he is going to have to defend a plan that can't be defended by a gay man. Canada's first openly gay MP, Sven Robinson of the New Democratic Party, called the pending nomination mind-boggling, an attempt by Stockwell Day and the Alliance to suggest they're an open and inclusive party when every position he and the party has taken shows they are exclusive, intolerant, and homophobic.
And speaking of Robinson and Day, it turns out that the widely reported story of Robinson refusing to shake Day's hand when Day was sworn into the Commons was entirely invented by a reporter who has since apologized. Robinson confirmed that he had refused to join the standing ovation for Day because of Day's anti-gay record in Alberta. But, Robinson said, "I have absolutely no problem in shaking his hand then or now. There is a fundamental difference between civility and hypocrisy. Joining in a standing ovation for Stockwell Day would be both dishonest and hypocritical, and I do not wish to be either."
The eyes of the world have been turned to the International Olympic Games in Sydney, where only a handful of the thousands of competitors have publicly declared themselves to be lesbian or gay. Openly gay U.S. diver Dave Pickler placed ninth in the individual men's 10-meter platform. He'd been sixth in that event 4 years ago in Atlanta. Teamed with Troy Dumais, Pickler placed fourth in the 3-meter springboard synchronized diving competition, less than 2 points behind Australia's bronze medal winners. Dumais and Pickler felt they performed as well as they ever have in that competition. Teamed with Mark Ruiz, Pickler placed seventh in the 10-meter platform synchro, where Pickler's last two dives disappointed.
Still more disappointed was openly lesbian French tennis pro Amélie Mauresmo, who was knocked out of singles competition in the first round and out of doubles competition in the second round. But openly lesbian U.S. tennis coach Billie Jean King had a great Olympics, watching Venus Williams take gold both individually and in the doubles with her sister Serena, with Monica Seles winning bronze in the singles. Openly lesbian Australian Lisa Marie Vizzaniari placed eighth in the women's discus.
And then there were the sweethearts of European women's handball, registered partners Mia Hundvin of Norway and Danish star Camilla Andersen. It looked as if the two would be facing off in the finals, but Hungary intervened to beat Norway in the semis.
And finally, the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania City Council anticipated a Culture Club performance by declaring October 1st to be Boy George Day. Given the news, the gender-bending gay activist said, "Don't ask me why, because I haven't a clue. But I am flattered. I guess it means that if you happen to be in Pittsburgh on October 1st, you have to walk with a wiggle and talk with a lisp."
That's News Wrap for the week ending September 30th, 2000. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Chase Schulte.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
Singers with stories to tell, cultural chasms to bridge, and spiritual expressions to explore share their newly released CDs later in the program. Gay director John Shear's first film stars Dan Futterman from TV's Judging Amy as a gay everyman grieving over his ended relationship and wading through a sea of strangers confronting their own urban nightmares. This Way Out's Steve Pride met with Shear to find out more about Urbania.
Urban legends are cautionary tales about misbehavior, trusting strangers, mistrusting strangers, the awful things that could happen in the everyday world, and urban legends are at the heart of the new independent feature film, Urbania, which, according to writer-director John Scher,
it's one of those puzzle movies that's actually difficult to sum up in one sentence, but I'll do my best. It's sort of this fantasia of city life. A young man, Charlie, that we meet, who's in the middle of sort of an emotional free fall, sees a couple on the street, and it sort of rouses him to action, and he spends the next hour and a half trying to find one of them. And with each sort of round of action, we discover more and more about who he's actually looking for and what he actually wants.
This guy, he's someone you might remember seeing here before.
Okay, what does he look like?
Well, he was born with all the right stuff.
Good looking, huh?
Yeah, but he's fast approaching the flip side of sexy. You know, he doesn't take care of himself. He's reckless. For now, though.
Gotcha.
He's got a tattoo. A big one. A snake.
Wrapped around a heart. Squeezing. That's the guy.
Don't worry, I know about the girl. Is he hanging with any guys lately?
No.
Any particular days, times?
Nah. Wait.
Okay. I'll see you later then. All right?
You sure he's what you're looking for?
Yeah. Don't worry, I get everything under control.
And as he gets closer to this person, all the urban myths that you've heard, the dog in the microwave, the stolen kidney, come to life around him.
But don't go out for popcorn, because some of the urban legends in Urbania are so subtle, it's almost like playing Find Waldo.
That's one of the exciting things, is that people afterwards, you know, it'll be their third time seeing it, and they will say, "Now that image there, is that from the folktale where," and sometimes they're right, and sometimes I I actually wish that I could pretend that they were right, because it's a much better answer than the one that we have, which is, no, it was just somebody who actually ran through the frame that we couldn't keep out. But yeah, there are different layers. Some of them are just sort of urban folklore as opposed to urban folktales, or just things from my life growing up in a city. I mean, there are actually moments in there that, I mean, my dad's kidney was stolen. And there's one scene where Charlie, played by Dan Futterman, is standing under an awning in the rain, and a homeless man comes up and urinates against one side of the building, and he moves over to get away from that. And then another man who is actually the kidney victim, most people sort of appear once or twice, even if they're just walking by. It's another thing to sort of compel you to pay again to see the movie, and urinates against the other side of the building right next to him. And that's when I decided to move out of Chelsea and move here.
I don't think I can really let my dad's kidney was stolen go by.
He went into the hospital for an exploratory maneuver and woke up with one less kidney. And they had the wrong chart on his bed and brought him in and took out his kidney by accident instead of doing this exploratory procedure.
For a low-budget independent film, Urbania boasts an amazing cast, including Leter Blotto, who was so brilliant in Jesus of Montreal and Bent. He is equally riveting in this film as a homeless man who panhandles outside of Charlie's building.
You ever hear the one about the lady long time ago who had this baby and she was parked in this lot? And she was doing her best. She had her arms full with the baby and the bags. So she put the baby on the car roof and she put the bags in the back and got in and she left the baby on the roof and forgot about it. You hear that one? Well, that was my mother.
As Charlie, actor Dan Futterman, best known for his portrayal of Robin Williams' son in The Birdcage, and his role on the CBS drama Judging Amy, offers up a complex portrayal of one man's journey into a dark, sexually charged night in search of his soul.
It's an incredibly expansive character. In every scene, you find out a different layer, and you can't feel that you've been manipulated. You actually need to feel as an audience that you're just discovering another layer in this guy, as opposed to him hiding things about himself. And so you needed somebody who was incredibly fluid in their energy, in terms of masculine and feminine, in terms of their sexuality, in terms of their power, in terms of whether they could be manipulative, whether they could be manipulated. In every scene, he shows another color. And Dan is incredibly smart and sexy in a very attractive and yet average way, depending upon the angle that you shot him at, which is what I needed. Because people make assumptions about him either as somebody who is more powerful than they are or less, depending upon the light in which they see him.
Chuck, I have to confess. I know a story. And this one really happened. See, this person, he suffered a tragedy. So he was just lying in bed, sleepless, as usual, when all of a sudden he could hear this couple through the ceiling just going at it. So his hand reached down, and he just thinks about the guy upstairs, the guy in his bicycle shorts. And the next thing he knows, all three of them are finding God simultaneously.
What? It's just a story, right?
Come on, let's get out of here.
No. Hey, Chuck, this is on me.
Hey, where do you get off?
He's not worth it.
What is your problem?
My problem? Well, for one, I'm sick and tired of you people flaunting your lifestyle choices in my face all the time.
So what's the best thing about Urbania? According to writer-director John Scher,
we were really lucky. I mean, I think with almost every phase of this movie, it really is an example of going for what you really dream about as opposed to what people think you should expect.
For This Way Out, this has been Steve Pride speaking with writer-director John Scher. Thanks for listening.
John Scher's Urbania, not to be confused with another openly gay director's current film, John Utman's Urban Legends, The Final Cut, is now playing at selected theaters.
Hi, we're the Nellie Olsons. I'm Nora Burns.
I'm Terrence Michael.
I'm John Cantwell.
And I'm Marissa Copeland. If you're looking for a codependent lesbian relationship with a needy woman, call me. I'm waiting. I'll move in with you. I'll become allergic to your cats, and when you give them away, I'll break up with you. Is that how you like it? Oh, call me. I'll wear your clothes. We'll go get counseling together and adopt a Nicaraguan crack baby, and then I'll sleep with all your friends. Is that how you like it? Oh, call me. Oh, Mama, you're so good to me. I'll stalk you till you take out a restraining order on me. Is that how you like it? Oh, call me. I've got some hot, steamy issues for you. We'll process everything. I'll make your life hell. Call me. Oh, yeah.
Hello, this is Bruce Valanche, you know, the big blonde Muppet on the Hollywood Squares. And you're listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. Please do stay tuned.
A San Francisco singer-songwriter who puts his personal strife to good use, a gay country boy who's claiming his culture, and a pop-to-rock lesbian looking for the things that connect all people are the featured artists in this edition of Audiophile.
It's not easy to guess where we're going with this, but we found a home for us to live in. A two-room flat in the center of town. Daylight streams into the mission. Talking the streets and walking these words through the tunnels and out the doorways.
Garen Benfield's musical storytelling gives a listener an intimate view of this singer-songwriter's intuitive and emotion-filled heart on his CD, Living a Dream. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm Christopher David Trentum, and you're listening to Audiophile. Living a Dream is a solid collection of original tracks, all of which come from the life experience of this San Francisco-based singer-songwriter.
I tend to write from a place of strife, I guess you could say. You know, I haven't written many songs just sort of celebrating my life. They're mostly about personal issues, problems, things I'm working through. But there are, you know, a few songs on the record, I guess What You're Hiding, which took me about 2 years to write. I had the music and some lyric fragments from that, and it was always sort of about the intrusion of the religious right into our lives, and then it just became more focused with the whole Matthew Shepard murder. I realized I sort of resurrected that song. I sort of had it sitting around and didn't really have a focus, and when that happened, it just became even more clear what that needed to be about.
What you're hiding. They know when you're excited. They know how to get inside. You find that alarming. You tell them to f*** their army of God. Christian soldiers marching. There's no room for you in this house.
For more information, check out Garen Benfield at www.8thnoterecords.com.
Look out, rednecks. Here come Doug Stevens and the Out Band to claim their rightful place in the world of country music.
There is a street and a place in New York City where I like to go when I'm in town. The women there are strong and the men are so pretty. Chelsea boys in jeans and village men in leather bound. From Christopher to Castro, cities, towns, and back roads. From Mexico to Maine, I sang my songs. To muscle boys at Pride, to Cajun queens and Dixie dykes. And them cowboys at the gay rodeo.
It's very important for me to be an out musician. In fact, the reason that I started doing country music is I wanted to do something authentic. And I'm from a very country culture, and I'm gay. So both of those things come out.
Doug Stevens is also one of the founders of the Lesbian and Gay Country Music Association.
I'm gonna be a cowboy sweetheart. I wanna learn to rope and ride. I wanna ride on the plains and the deserts out west of the Great Divide.
I formed LGCMA, the Lesbian and Gay Country Music Association, back in the summer of 1998 with four other people. We formed LGCMA for different reasons. We want to bring gay country music fans and gay country artists together. We also want to educate mainstream culture about gay lives through country music, and also to educate gays and lesbians who live in urban areas about gays and lesbians who identify with country music and who identify with country culture, that is.
If you want to know more about Doug Stevens, check out his website at www.dougstevens.net or the LGCMA at www.lgcma.com.
Robin Renee's personal authenticity and candor come through in 13 original tracks, which range in style from pop ballads to rock and roll, on her new CD entitled In Progress.
Time to find my way back home. On a summing place around this bowl.
My spirituality is very, very important to me. It really runs through everything that I do. There's nothing that I do that's separate from it. I really try to see the world that way and experience life that way. I tend to want to associate with people whose spirituality is expansive and inclusive and can encompass people of all sexualities, all genders, all races, and that's really where I grow and where I think our culture grows.
With this East Coast singer-songwriter, what you see is what you get.
Every child in this town, they ask you if you're mine. Do you speak the truth? You know, say it's not time. No, it's not my time.
You can find out more about Robin Renee at www.robinrenee.com.
And that's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at P.O. Box 429, Sunland, California, 91041, or online at info@audiophile.org. That's info@audiophile.org. This is Chris Wilson.
And I'm Christopher David Trenton. Keep listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Shay Schulte, Graham Underhill, Brian Nunes, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambage, Rex Walkner, Steve Pride, and Chris Wilson, Christopher David Trentum, and Pam Marshall contributed program material. Thanks also to Adam Michael James. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, by Planet Out, from designated contributions by Uncommon Cloud Visa card holders who've chosen This Way Out, and through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. For audio cassette information, or with any questions or comments about This Way Out, please email us at tworadio@aol.com, visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. And please be sure to include the call letters of this station. Remember, you can also hear This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. For Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We all thank you for listening on KYDS Sacramento, California, WOMR Provincetown, Massachusetts, 5CST Southwest Adelaide, South Australia, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.